Coming up on Simply Superior.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
How do you take care of your business in a wildly uncertain market and a never-ending pandemic?
I'm taking care of business.
Our resident expert on local businesses tells how. Plus, move over, Highwaymen, and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. The Twin Ports has its own supergroup.
Time can be so callous, it can let it down real slow.
Yeah, I managed to pull together a pretty stellar team of players and collaborators and artists.
Singing with the crows.
Those stories and the regional news and review after this.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
Move over, Highwaymen, and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. The Twin Ports has its own supergroup.
Time can be so callous, it can let it down real slow.
Yeah, I managed to pull together a pretty stellar team of players and collaborators and artists.
Singing with the crows.
We'll hear the sounds of Sarah Kruger and La Nuit. But first, how do you take care of your business in a wildly uncertain market and a never-ending pandemic?
I'm taking care of business.
Our resident expert on local businesses tells how. Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. As we've been saying for I don't know how long now, the pandemic is almost over, except it isn't. The new Delta variant is raging. Hospitalizations are rising again. And the battles over mask wearing and taking the vaccine have become a sign of our divided times. So how do you run a business and all that? Here to give some advice is Andrew Donahue. He's the director of the Small Business Development Center here at the University of Wisconsin-Superior. Welcome back, to Simply Superior, Andy.
Thanks, Robin. Glad to be back again.
And you're actually back in the office, I understand.
We are, yeah.
Today.
We have begun we've begun a soft transition back to our offices at the University of Wisconsin-Superior, which is, you know, it feels like a new norm again after the last 17 months. So it's acquainting yourself with our work abodes and getting things back in line to be back at the office.
Mm-hmm. And is that your nameplate in front of you, or did you find the right office? Or
I don't know. We in the last few weeks, we've been moving offices, so that makes it a little bit more challenging to unpack and find that right nameplate and make sure that we're all ready to go.
Where you're supposed to be. In all seriousness, there are stories of people coming back to their offices and finding it almost a time capsule, right? Things that were left because you thought you were going away for, you know, a week or two or maybe a few months at the most, and your computer may not be turned on, but the last memo there was from, you know, March 2020.
And you're exactly right. And there are papers that were on a bulletin board and some notes that were taken from March 2020, and now we're in August 2021. So there's definitely a time lapse that has certainly happened over the last, you know, year and a half.
Right. So back then at the beginning of the pandemic, you visited us and you told us all about the PPP loans. They were new at the time, and other government assistance to help keep businesses afloat during the pandemic. Again, we thought at that time it might be over by the summer of 2020. Didn't happen. So what are the biggest challenges now for local businesses that you're seeing?
You know, what we're seeing is some of the same old stuff, but some new stuff. I think the biggest challenge that businesses are seeing is, honestly, it's a workforce issue right at the moment, where businesses and organizations aren't able to hire, you know, a number of people, either quality, you know, employees, or just in general, people not applying for positions. You know, we're seeing existing businesses struggle with it, where they have to change their hours. We're seeing new businesses struggle with, you know, when they've opened the door successfully, you know, making sure they have employees there to work. So there is certainly an issue right now. And I know there's plenty of, you know, city, county, economic development officials that are working through the issue, but it's a time thing just to making sure that they can meet those challenges and those demands of those businesses and organizations. So that's one thing. Then the second thing is just kind of what's happening in the world around us with, you know, a few more restrictions coming back into place. People are being a little bit more cautious about going out possibly. So that's going to be a little bit more of a challenge again, probably in the next, you know, weeks to months ahead to see what happens. One of those unknown things, kind of what we experienced last year. But the nice thing about it, I think businesses are more prepared, you know, instead of going right at it and not knowing what's going to happen, they've had time to adjust using those magic words of pivot and being aware of the surroundings and having a plan in place if something does change.
You mentioned the workforce issue. You know, Northwest Wisconsin has traditionally has had a workforce issue, the opposite being that we've had no shortage of a need for jobs. Mm-hmm. So even in our area, it's a problem getting people?
It is a problem. It's the hard thing is that, you know, we're in this summer season where there's a lot of transition between students, you know, home for the summer, going back to college, or transitioning, you know, in the fall months. But even more so, it's been an issue with finding certain industries, finding the quality workers that can fit the skill set. For example, we work with a childcare provider locally or in the region, and finding lead qualified teachers, you know, that would be willing to step in and run a childcare facility has been a struggle. So there is certainly a lot of opportunities that present itself, you know, the online boom, people mm-hmm. wanting to start, you know, business, but making more online where they can work from home. But also those individuals that are at the retirement age where the pandemic has set in and they made a decision where they had an opportunity to retire now because they were transitioning either out of their job or changing the direction a little bit. So it's all intersecting at the same time. So even though it's a big issue, it takes time to resolve, which I know a lot of local economic officials are making sure that that's one of their top priorities.
So it sounds like a lot of the issue is we've had to adjust to a not normal or new normal or whatever. And now that we adjusted to that, the idea of going back to normal isn't quite as easy to accomplish as we thought.
No, but it goes back to, you know, the pivot model, and you're just pivoting business structure. So you're seeing a lot of organizations and business adjust their hours to meet the demand, doing different things just with their business in general to make sure that they can market the product, but then also offering different benefits, whether it's professional development, whether it's an increase in salary, giving more flexible hours to employees, you know, trying to meet the demand of a changing workforce environment.
We're speaking with Andrew Donahue, director of the Small Business Development Center at the University of Wisconsin-Superior. So let's go back once more to those government programs. I think, again, a lot of people thought of them as something in place in the beginning of the pandemic when the economy was taking a real hit, and then during, and then, you know, maybe some of us forgot about them. Are they still out there? Can we still get PPP loans, or is there PPP part two?
There's still a couple federal programs that are available. The PPP loans are done. Those loan funds have been used up fully. Now there's obviously the application process for the forgiveness of the grant portion itself. So my recommendation is always talk to your local lender that you work with for the PPP loan to get the process down so you can get those loan funds reimbursed or so you can get forgiven from the grant prospect. There is still the EIDL, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, available. That is a federal program that has not expired yet, so that is a loan itself through the SBA. However, those interest rates are much lower than your traditional lending because it is for a federal disaster itself. So what you can do is you can just Google search EIDL loan and SBA, and it'll bring it up to the portal where you can apply right online. So that is a program that is still available. Another program that's still out there that's been still available for businesses is the Shuttered Venue Operators Grant. This is for more operating businesses, amusement parks, entertainment centers, theaters, anything that has more of a live entertainment aspect of it. Those are still available to allocate funds for. Otherwise, from the federal perspective, as of now, there's not. But I say that with just a grain of salt because there's always programs that are coming out and changing. You know, due to the American Recovery Plan funds, there's been different allocations sent to cities, counties, economic development agencies. So there's a lot of funds that could be still available that are coming from the federal bucket, but they might be allocated in some capacity to the state or local level. So my recommendation from that perspective is connect with us. at the Small Business Development Center or your local economic development organization, just to see what programs are available. It's just like everything else, it's been changing very quickly. So there will be additional funding from a local or state level. It's just a matter of when and what that, those fundings will look like.
You know, and I'm betting that something out of the infrastructure bill will be trickling down to something for, well, it's got to be something for us locally. I mean, it's for the whole country. So I'm sure you'll be keeping tabs on that.
Yeah, and I'm not too, you know, vested in the infrastructure and what's exactly in that
bill.
It's a big bill. What I can tell you, though, from a local level, and certainly connect with us here at the Small Business Development Center, there will be a grants available for anybody that's looking to start a business, and they are either purchasing or leasing a commercial storefront location, so a brick-and-mortar location, within northern Wisconsin. So between us and then, you know, the Northwest Regional Planning Commission and Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, there's a pot of money available. So we can certainly get those individuals or businesses connected with the right resources to look to see if it's available to them. And these are monies up to $10,000. So there is plenty of resources out there. It's just finding the right ones that meet the needs and wants of each of the businesses that are here.
And you are a fountain of that information, Andy. How do people get in touch with you?
They can certainly connect with me directly at area code 715-394-8352. That is my direct line. Or they can certainly send me an email at adonahue, so that's A-D-O-N-A-H-U-E, at uwsuper.edu.
One more time.
715-394-8352 or adonahue@uwsuper.edu.
And we are speaking with A. Donahue, a.k.a. Andrew Donahue, Director of the Small Business Development Center at the University of Wisconsin-Superior. So what are some specific situations that you've seen of local businesses, your clients, adapting, readapting, re-readapting to the whole opening, closing, no mask, yes mask, but, you know, how does that manifest itself in some of the businesses you've seen?
I think what we've seen is the majority of businesses, you know, are following, you know, CDC guidance, but also city, county, local municipality, you know, guidance itself and making the decisions that way. What we're seeing from those businesses is they're really marketing themselves online. You know, one thing I think the pandemic has really changed, and again, pivoting a little bit, is how businesses and organizations have been able to reach their client and their customer base. So even if they weren't online before, they're now online in some capacity, whether it's, you know, on social media, whether it's on a website or whatever method that they preferred, they're able to reach their customer and have that conversation that way to give as much information as possible. For instance, we worked with a new client locally that just recently opened their doors in the last month, and they've been really, you know, showcasing and talking about their business online on their social media and website pages in order to get all the information out there. And they've had their challenges and such, but they've also had a lot of successes, whether it's, you know, being open limited hours due to staffing, whether it's closed a day just due to that, or really promoting their products online or their services. So there's a way for businesses to really capitalize on telling their story online. So my recommendation is always connect with somebody, whether it's us or a marketing agency, another resource that can help them get everything set up with it. Just talk to their customers to tell their story so they can communicate with them.
Are we as consumers more willing or accepting to entertain doing things online that we didn't do before, now that we've been shut in for a year and a half or so?
I think so. And a lot of it is generationally, you know, what's accepted and how much education, you know, and knowledge you had of online resources. But over the last 17 to 18 months, we've been forced into a different environment where we've been able to have it to do things more online and not in a face-to-face setting, whether it's communicating from a work standpoint with technology using, you know, Microsoft Teams or Zoom or WebEx, whatever platform, or just general phone calls, to looking online for different things, from ordering locally or if you're looking at some other national brands, to working with those businesses from that perspective. So I think technology has really adapted itself, but we've also really adapted in how we use technology and using it probably smarter, not harder, in some capacity, just because we've all become more accustomed to what we need to do over the last 17 to 18 months.
I was about to ask you for some specific examples, and what popped in my head, I guess, from good conditioning from commercials, right, is Carvana, and this is not a commercial for them or an endorsement, but who in the world thought that you'd be buying a car online? And I'm not sure I'm ready for that. I think I want to see this thing before I get inside it, you know? And I have no idea what the car vending machine means. I mean, I get a Milky Way and a Hershey bar and a can of Coke. That's cool for a vending machine, but the car, nah, I'm not ready for that one.
It's a different way of thinking. And yes, there's those options that are out there, and some of those bigger purchases might and probably do have a lot of skepticism with it, just because of, you know, the dollar amount with it. But there are new ways in which businesses and organizations reach the customers, and vice versa, how customers and clients are going to be able to maximize their purchasing power by using, you know, online resources.
And it's all because we are more willing to do things online or research things or just do things differently than we were before. So I get you. It's an online menu is something I wouldn't necessarily have looked up before. And that's got to be great for a food provider who, you know, can know exactly what they're ordering before, I was about to say open the store, but they don't even have to open the store.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there's a lot of individuals that have had this idea that they wanted to test out, have been able to tinker with it a little bit, you know, cultivate it in a different way because of the way the pandemic was. It might be where they were laid off, unfortunately, at, you know, one point, or they just had more time on their hands because they weren't going out, where they could cultivate their business idea a little bit more in order to see if it was going to make it in the market. So we've seen a lot more businesses, you know, start up, believe it or not, during the pandemic, but also a lot more food and beverage industries that have been looking at doing things in the commercial kitchen, have been wanting to start their own restaurant, even sometimes a little bit of a food cart, to test out their idea just a little bit more to see if it's marketable in this area.
So what's your prediction for the next 18 months? You don't have to be the least bit right, because nobody could have predicted where we are or are not right now. Frankly, people are resigned to the new normal might be with us for a very long time.
What I would say, you know, with this variant going around, things slow down again from that perspective, where we can still keep growing to that back to that normalcy and not have to worry about any restrictions or mandates are coming down. I think more and more entrepreneurs are looking at ventures, and they want to launch. What we've been seeing over the last, especially over the last year, after, you know, the first 6 months of the pandemic, is more and more people want to become entrepreneurs, and they are really looking at tapping to those resources that can get them started. You know, we've seen a significant increase of businesses that want to start. Individuals that reached out to us, asked for assistance with business planning, marketing, financial projections, to really test out their idea and really get them prepared over the next 12 to 18 months or whatever they're going to be looking at starting a business. The one, I think, key and crucial piece of that is planning through a pandemic has really showed them kind of that lead startup mentality to start small and grow at the pace that they're comfortable growing at. So that might be, you know, operating, you know, much smaller than they really truly anticipated, but also making sure that they have the resources available to them in order to survive if something did happen. And we're seeing quite a few successes of businesses that actually started over the last 6 months that are doing very well in business because they have the proper planning and the guidance in place.
You know, I think you just made a prediction that actually is going to be true, because you're exactly right. Who would have thunk there would be so many startups during this time? But as you said, if they had nothing else to do, now was the time to do it. We've been speaking with Andrew Donahue, director of the Small Business Development Center at the University of Wisconsin-Superior. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Robin. Always a pleasure to be here.
Coming up, a supergroup from our region.
Folded in gold and fallen in blue, and baby's got a brand new pair of jeans. Don't you remember when it was white and cold? Pushing our demons into the sunlight, couldn't see the walls behind the leaves. you say, let's go down to Mexico. We'll put our bodies in the sun, forget who we are.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Popular music has seen a number of supergroups throughout the years. They're defined as bands composed of members of other bands, like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, the Highwaymen, or anything with Eric Clapton or Ginger Baker in it. They might get together for a single album or an off-and-on-again collaboration. Well, the latest entry comes from our region, with a grouping of musicians affiliated with some of Wisconsin and Minnesota's biggest acts, including Bon Iver, Low, and Trampled by Turtles, to say nothing of Taylor Swift, though she hails from Pennsylvania. Their name and that of their debut album is Lanou, and the vocalist is Eau Claire bred and Twin Ports resident Sarah Kruger, who joins me now. Welcome to Simply Superior, Sarah Kruger.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we have been Facebook friends forever, actually, since 2012. I just looked it up. I actually had confused you with another Sarah, who has a white tiger as her profile picture, which confuses it even more.
Sounds like it.
So I'm envisioning you, or I was, as a white tiger, but that one's not you, right?
Not me, but I enjoy the visual for sure.
So what animal would you post if you were to do an animal for?
Probably a red fox.
Ah.
Okay. I do like foxes, yeah.
You know, one of, white tigers, and our other favorite is a red panda, so.
Oh, yeah. Good choices.
So anyway, none of those are you. If I were to say you looked a little bit, though, like Rachel Kilgore, has anyone ever said that?
Yes, I have had people say that. I've had people call me Rachel, actually. So you are not alone in that. Yep.
Great. She's been on the show, and since it was radio, no one can tell you're not her right now, right?
So. I suppose you're right.
Okay. All right. Well, we are speaking to Sarah Kruger, not Rachel Kilgore, although we love speaking with Rachel Kilgore, both of you. And tell us about the group, which has been described as a super group. You've stolen players, borrowed or acquired from Bon Iver, from Low, from Trampled by Turtles, and someone even played with Taylor Swift. So pronounce the name for us. Tell us who all those people are.
Sure. So this latest project of mine is called Lanou, L-A-N-U-E. And these songs were recorded before the pandemic and released this past March. And yeah, I managed to pull together a pretty stellar team of players and collaborators and artists. And they helped me flesh out these songs and bring them to life. And we've been playing shows now, just starting this spring and summer. And I've had many of those players with me for my live shows as well. And it's been really great to be playing these songs live for people. You know, when I decided I was going to release this project under a different name, the pandemic had started. And it was such a strange time to think about putting music out. And it feels really great to have the chance to play these songs live for people. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the Twin Ports or Minnesota, Wisconsin version of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, where each of them maybe go back to their other groups or something like that. So is that still true with the people you're associated with? And tell us who exactly they are.
Yeah. Sure. You know, this project is kind of fluid. The folks that played on the record, let's start with Sean Carey. He's Eau Claire based, and he played piano and sang and helped with post-production stuff. And then Steve Garrington is based in St. Paul, and he played bass guitar and also helped with the studio production.
And each of those is normally with whom?
Sean has his own project called S. Carey and also plays drums in Bon Iver. And Steve just left a band called Low, and he plays with, you know, a lot of different, he's a wonderful bass player. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then I had JT Bates drumming, and he is probably one of my favorite drummers. He's a wonderful guy. Great drummer. And yeah, you mentioned, he did drum on Taylor Swift's latest record, which is kind of neat. But he plays all around with many groups. I think he was just on the Colbert Show, actually. And then, let's see, who else? Ryan Young played the string parts on a handful of the songs, and he is the fiddle player with Trampled by Turtles. And then Eric Koskinen also plays some guitar on most of the songs, too. And he's a wonderful musician himself. So it was a really great crew that I got to work with. And we recorded down in Eau Claire at Hive, which is Brian Joseph's studio. And it was a lovely experience. And I think that the songs really speak to that space. And, you know, no one had a chance to even hear these songs before we got together. And we just kind of let them fold as a group in that space. And I'm really happy with how the record turned out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Lanu is the album name, group name?
Both? Lanu is the, I would call it
and
the
I'll
project
pronounce
name.
It Lanu, okay.
Lanu, yeah, I would call it the project name. And it's also a self-titled album. And some might say it's maybe my new moniker. I will perform these songs under this name. And, you know, I'm working on some more recording right now, and I'll release those under Lanu as well. So I kind of felt like it had been so long since I had released music under my name, Sarah Kruger. And I sort of wanted a fresh start. And these songs felt like they kind of arrived at a, I would say, more mature place. And I sort of wanted to just detach myself a little bit from my previous work that I had put out so many years ago.
And Lanu means what?
It's a title of a poem by Alan Seeger. And I kept coming back to that poem. You know, every couple of years I would open it up. I always found it to be really beautiful, and the meaning of it kind of changed as I changed. And I liked the idea of a text changing over time and being interpreted by the reader and taken. You take something different away from a text or from a song than the person next to you does. And I think that was a important idea, especially in songwriting.
Do you have a few lines from the poem?
Not with me right now, no. I don't. The poem itself, I was first drawn to it because it's really just beautiful, natural imagery. And at first it sounds like a love poem, you know. And as time changed, I realized maybe for a while I thought it was an ode to the moon, possibly. And I think now I've kind of settled the idea that it could be both and many of those things.
Well, you know what? Through the magic of the internet, we can bring it to you right here. Oft when sweet music undulated round, like the full moon out of a perfumed sea, thine image from the waves of a blissful sound rose in thy sudden light illumine me.
Yeah.
All right. We'll stop there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is by Alan Seeger, who I understand is a relative of Pete Seeger, or was a relative of Pete Seeger.
Yeah. I believe that's true. Yep.
We are speaking to Sarah Kruger of Lanu. You're from Eau Claire. Then what?
Yeah. I grew up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and, you know, grew up listening to John Prine and Dylan and all the classics. And, graduated from North High School and found my way to Duluth shortly after that. And I've been in Duluth ever since. One thing I love about both Eau Claire and Duluth, I think both Eau Claire and Duluth welcome younger artists with open arms and kind of accept everyone where they're at in order to help them grow into themselves. That's really, I think, something that's special.
Not to mention Superior, which you have to drive through on the way from Eau Claire to Duluth, right?
Yep. Right.
And you can stop there, too. And, of course, I know you performed there, too.
Yeah.
So let's hear something of a performance. Maybe, I don't know, what speaks to what we've been talking about. Is there a title track based on the poem, perhaps? Or
One song that I think has been resonating, the song called What I Love the Most. And that song comes from a place of realizing you have resentful feelings toward things you love because things are so multidimensional, whether it's a relationship or growing a garden or being a parent or what have you, and working through those emotions to kind of keep what's most important at the forefront, which is, you know, your love for that thing, that person. Yeah.
All right. Here's What I Love Most by our guest, Sarah Kruger, a.k.a. performing with all of the above, Lanou.
Sit out in the garden, singing with the crows. I'll find you at the river, bound to the shore. Your hands under the water, forget you wanted more. Some days I'm a mariner, some days I'm a girl.
And that's What I Love Most by Sarah Kruger, as performing with or being a part of or one in the same as Lanou, a local supergroup. Maybe more than local. You've been playing in the Twin Cities, places like, First Avenue, I'm told, and You're doing the state fair. You're getting some national press too. We're going to lose you?
No, I think I'm here to stay. I love this place. I love where I live and I love this community. So I'm not planning on going anywhere.
All right. Well, we're going to hold you too.
Yeah.
But you can travel all over the place to perform because we want to share you with the world. And I think that one reason you do love this place is the environment. You've written about that, so that's not a big secret.
Right.
And a song that speaks to that?
Sure. I think maybe the song July. Essentially, the song is about swimming in Lake Superior, which sounds so simple, but
oh yeah, but those of us who have tried,
it's
find really out that 40 degree water in July is a surprise. Yes,
yeah, I think it's practice in reminding yourself that you're alive and connected to something bigger, and yeah, so
and you can't control it as much as you think. Yes,
yeah, right, exactly. Yep.
All right, well, let's listen to July. By our guest Sarah Kruger, singing and performing and being a part of La Nu.
Yeah.
And that was July, although this is August, by our guest Sarah Kruger, performing as, singing with the group La Nu. And where can we find more information?
Yeah, I would head to lanumusic.com, and that gives you all the info about shows and how to listen and buy and support and watch videos and all that good stuff.
Great. And that is spelled L-A-N-U-E, music.com.
You got it.
How about a song to take us out?
Sure. I think you should play one that was kind of touching on leaving a place and coming back. And that's the song Mexico. That came from a place of wanting to leave, just to feel that feeling you get when you come back home. And I think it's important to leave in order to appreciate what you have.
Great. We've been speaking with Sarah Kruger of La Nu. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Shaking your shaders, you might duck in your darts. I tried to fight the cold, and you fell back into the snow. You say, let's go down.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hey, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Danny, I don't live that close to downtown Duluth, but apparently I'm close enough to hear there's a concert going on at Bayfront. The sound does carry. So what is all that?
Yeah, so this week, Justin Vernon's Bon Iver was the headliner of a Line 3 protest concert in Duluth on Wednesday. The Grammy Award-winning Eau Claire native was among a series of performers who gathered in basically a fundraising concert for the Indigenous environmental nonprofit group Honor the Earth, which has been leading protests of Enbridge's Line 3 oil pipeline replacement across northern Minnesota. The concert was dubbed the Water is Life Stop Line 3 Festival, and it included performances from other artists like Lissy and Lowe's Alan Sparhawk, and Native performers like Annie Humphrey. You know, all of these musicians are donating proceeds to Honor the Earth because they are concerned about climate change and feel that Line 3 and its replacement will only further drive future emissions, as we've seen climate scientists now in a recent United Nations panel report talk about how we're seeing the Earth warming more rapidly than previously thought. And Justin Vernon, in an online video this week before the concert, said that everyone is feeling the heat quite literally, and the Line 3 is just one major fight as part of efforts to reduce emissions. But, you know, Enbridge is arguing that the pipeline's replacement has no impact on production or use of fossil fuels. They contend that Minnesota regulators concluded when they approved the project or a certificate of need allowing construction that basically the reason that we're having these continued emissions from oil is because of continued demand for crude oil or to produce refined products from oil.
All right. Well, I don't know if there's a song about it, but you've been playing the same refrain for the last few weeks, I think it is, right? In the story about the Wisconsin Natural Resource Board chair who won't leave his office even though his term has expired.
Right. The saga continues, Robin. And, you know, the latest this week is that Attorney General Josh Call filed a lawsuit aimed at removing the chair of the Natural Resources Board, Fred Crane, who, as we all know, has refused to leave after the end of his term expired months ago. And now Call wants a Dane County Circuit Court judge to remove him and rule that, you know, there is no basis for him to stay past the end of his term. Prane has pointed to a state Supreme Court ruling that allows him to remain in his seat until the state Senate confirms a new appointment. And the state Senate is controlled by Republicans, and they have yet to hold a confirmation hearing on Democratic Governor Tony Evers' nominees, which includes soon-to-be German School District Agriculture and Natural Resources teacher Sandra D. Noss. She's been a conservationist for more than three decades in northern Wisconsin, and this week she told WPR that it's up to the courts now to decide whether or not she can take her seat on the board. And she also indicated that she would not have supported the Natural Resources Board recent vote to approve a quota of 300 wolves for the fall wolf hunt, which many have pointed to as, you know, part of the reason why Fred Prane has decided to stay on that board.
All right. I guess we haven't heard the end of that song. So in Superior, the school district is looking at masks. This kind of goes back to our conversation with Annie Donahue about businesses and dealing with the pandemic, being over, not over, masks not being required. Now they are again. So a bit of news in the schools.
Yeah. And the Superior School Board voted on Monday to approve a back-to-school plan that includes masks being optional for students in grades 7 through 12, but it will be required on all district transportation, such as buses, and that's in line with the Centers for Disease Control's guidelines. And all elementary school students will be required to wear masks. The CDC is requiring children age 12 and over to get the COVID-19 vaccine. But right now, those 12 and under aren't eligible for the vaccine. And so they're proposing that this be put in place to protect those younger children who have not yet been vaccinated. And in Ashland, they have shifted their position from mandating masks in the school district to strongly recommending that students wear masks as the school resumes classes this fall.
All right. Well, Brooks, on the Minnesota side, or actually all throughout the region, the smoke we've been smelling is finally cleared away. But we have another fire, and it's closer to home. Getting closer, huh?
Yeah, it's a big one, and it's growing, at least as far as Superior National Forest fires are concerned. So there's about 4,000 acres that are burning now northwest of Two Harbors, southwest of Isabella in the rural and forested part of northeast Minnesota. And no part of the fire was under control as of Wednesday. It's moving quickly due to dry conditions, and it is just consuming tree after tree and moving between Minnesota Highways 1 and 2. It's the Greenwood Fire north of Greenwood Lake. And yeah, if there isn't smoke in the sky now from it, there may be soon.
All right. Well, back to the Bayfront area, where I've been hearing the strains of those concerts. There are changes planned for Harbor Drive, and maybe not so much of a drive.
Yeah, actually, a consultant hired by the city of Duluth unveiled plans for a car-free promenade, or a pedestrian-focused plaza is another way to look at it. So this is in between the deck and the harbor. And so if you're walking from Bayfront, actually, right now you've got sort of a unkempt sidewalk leading to the Blue Bridge that gets you over to Canal Park, right? So that entire stretch would transform into a wide path, new landscaping, a boardwalk, like our lake walk. And they would just remove Harbor Drive, and it would end on the other sides of the deck in the Amsoil Arena. So far, you know, this has been pretty well received. The impetus for the project was actually to repair the seawall and prepare the whole area for cruise ships to eventually dock at the deck. And the city said, well, let's go ahead and see what kind of state, federal, and city funds we can put into actually beautifying this area.
All right. Well, we've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/northreport. And be sure, and I mean be sure, to subscribe to their local newsletter. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of the music of La Nu. Stay safe, everyone.
Walk along the shoreline like a tightrope wire. Your hand into the sunlight. We couldn't get much higher. Cold is moving in on, it's under my skin. We could weather out the winter or head south again. But it's like heroin slowly mapping out your voice. It's like outer space on that void. You'll never know. Oh, I wish I was Bridget Bardot.